This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will bless you and maybe even challenge you. Now, we're looking at Miracle 35 in connection with the miracles that the Lord did while he was here on this earth. And we've been trying to take them in the chronological order that many commentators have given us. So as we look at Miracle 35, we're looking at the withering up of a fig tree that didn't have any fruit upon it, and we're going to read from Mark chapter 11. But I just want to comment that last time we were dealing with the miracle where the Lord had opened the eyes of blind Bartimaeus, and one thing that I didn't mention was that when blind Bartimaeus had his eyes opened, likely the very first thing he saw was the Lord Jesus. And it's interesting in my mind that when we're saved, that's what occupies us as well. Why the Lord did die for me. We don't see him with our physical eyes, but we see him by faith, and he's what occupies us. And when I hear somebody tell me that they're a believer in the Lord Jesus, I like to hear them tell me about the Lord Jesus and about what he has done for them and what he means to them, because that's what our eyes are open to. That's what we're blind to, and that's what Israel was blind to before the Lord came. They were blind to the truth that this was the Messiah, and we're blind to the truth that we need to be saved and that the Lord has died to save us. And it's the Holy Spirit, as it opens our eyes to that truth in the use of the Bible. Faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's that that thrills our soul. And while blind Bartimaeus probably saw the Lord first, the man in John 9 who had his eyes opened likely saw the Lord first. That is an interesting fact to me that I haven't thought a lot about in terms of what these miracles teach us. And I hope, if you are saved today, that you can relate to what I'm saying, that you can relate to the fact that when your eyes were opened, you saw the Lord Jesus and realized that he loved you and that he gave himself for you. Now today we're going to move on to Mark chapter 11 and verse 12, which says, "Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry." And I want to stop there for a moment. This is interesting because he was staying likely with Mary and Martha and Lazarus at Bethany, and he must not have gotten a very good breakfast. Now, when I stay with people, and I do it quite often, they're always able to feed me a good breakfast. Now, whether the Lord left before the others were up or what happened, he was hungry, and that shows that he was a real man, that he needed to eat just like the rest of us. He was God made known in the flesh. And so, as a man, he was hungry. We know that he owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. We know that he fed the multitudes. But he himself wanted to have, as we'll see in a few moments, a few figs off of a fig tree because he was hungry. And he obviously could have provided for his needs in some other way, but this miracle is designed to teach us something, and we want to look at what it's designed to teach us. And so, seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it, so they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And then he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of thieves?" And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, this would be the next day, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now this apparently took place in the last week of the Lord's life. He has made the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And now as he goes back to Jerusalem, after having stayed overnight with his friends, he wants to get something to eat off of a fig tree. Now, as I understand it, it really wasn't the season for figs. But nevertheless, the Lord was looking for fruit on that fig tree. He found none, and so he cursed the fig tree. And after he cursed the fig tree, he went into the temple and cast out the money changers. And we could spend some time there. There's no miracle associated with this. We could spend some time here and ask ourselves if we have turned our places of worship into places where the money changers are, in fact, taking advantage of poor people. We're supposed to help the poor. We're not supposed to take advantage of the poor. And we know today that many churches are big business. And that was never the Lord's intent. The Lord could say, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And he did not use his ability to amass wealth on this earth. He owned it all, but he did not use his supernatural ability to amass wealth on this earth. That was not the reason he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But the people in the temple were taking advantage of the people and were making profit off of the sacrifices that they wanted to offer. If a person came from a distance, they generally had to come to the temple or the Jerusalem, the area in Jerusalem where the temple was, and they had to buy an animal for sacrifice there. And in doing that, people were being, as we would say, in the social world today, they were being ripped off. And the business was more important than the worship in the temple. And if this business was going to take place, apparently the Lord didn't want it to take place in the temple itself. He wanted the temple to be available for worship and to be apart from the business world. And I don't think we make a very clear distinction on those issues today in our churches and in the places of worship. It seems like every time you turn around, there's a collection being taken or a guilt trip being laid on the people for a need. And the Lord did not do that. And he even monitored what was put into the collection box in the temple and realized that there was a widow who put in all of her living, and it was a very small amount, 2 mites. But she put in all of her living, whereas others were using the temple to make a profit, and they were not really worshiping the Lord there. They were using religion as a means of prospering. Now, we notice then that he had come to this fig tree, and the question we have to ask is, what does this fig tree represent? And I personally believe that the fig tree is representative of the nation of Israel. The Israel had been given the opportunity to accept the Lord. He had presented himself to them. If we were to study Luke chapter 19, we would find out that he's cried over Israel, particularly over Jerusalem. He wept tears over it, saying, "If thou hadst known in this thy day the things that belong to thy peace." And they didn't realize that in rejecting the Lord, judgment was coming, but there was no fruit on the tree as far as the nation of Israel was concerned. The Lord knew this was not the season when they were going to accept him and turn to him. The Jews were more concerned about ruling the people than they were about helping the people to worship the Lord. And so, as a nation, they were a rebellious people. And I've been reading through the book of Jeremiah, and over and over and over again, the Lord tells them back there that judgment is coming. And in that case, it was the judgment that was going to come through Babylon. But now the judgment is going to come through the Roman Empire. There's no fruit on that tree. And so the Lord cursed it and said, it's time. It's done. We're not going to get any fruit off of this tree. And so he says, when they look at it, he says, the fig tree which you've cursed has withered away. And Jesus said to them, have faith in God. And so what does he mean? This is the second time we've come to this issue of having faith in God and being able to move mountains. The last time we showed that the issue had to do specifically with a commission that had been given to the disciples in the casting out of demons that they weren't able to do. And I don't think it's any different here. But I think when we say have faith in God, that doesn't mean have a general faith that God exists. It means have faith in the promises God has made you. And one of the promises God is going to make them is that they're to go into all the world and they're going to preach the gospel to every creature. They're going to make disciples of all men. And God is going to effectively move mountains as they work in fellowship with him. But in order for our prayers to be answered, we have to forgive those that perhaps have wronged us. And in this case, these disciples in particular are going to be put in a position where they could really resent the Jewish nation. And yet they're going to be sent to the Jewish nation with the gospel after the resurrection of Christ. And so the Lord says to them, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, for your Father in heaven, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Think of Peter. Peter trespassed against the Lord and denying him, but the Lord forgave him, and then he used him. That fellowship was restored. This does not have to do with salvation. This has to do with service. And we can say in a general way, when we won't forgive others, it's going to break our fellowship with the Lord, and it's going to hinder our prayers. A bad relationship between a husband and wife will hinder our prayers. We're told about that in the Epistle to Peter. It will hinder our prayers. And obviously, a broken relationship between us and God will hinder our prayers. And so we need to follow the example of the Lord and forgive others, because we're likely going to be preaching the gospel to people that in some way have offended us. And we need to be clear that the Lord loves them as much as he loves us, and we need to reach them with the gospel. So again, we move mountains, that is, we remove obstacles when we do things the Lord's way, and when we have faith in God and in his promises. And I trust that you're one of the Lord's disciples who have had your eyes opened and who are worshiping in a right way and not using the gospel to get rich, but are using the gospel to enrich others. And I trust that you are going to be one of those who helps move mountains. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy love, for thy salvation. We pray for thy blessing upon those who are listening today. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can reach me either way, and we do thank you for listening.